Frequency Matters, the RF and Microwave Update Series. I'm Pat Hindle, here with my co-host Gary LaRude. This episode, we're going to take a look at our June semiconductor and IC issue. So the cover story is in two parts. The first part is written by Eric Heim of Strategy Analytics. He takes a look at the GaN semiconductor market, the trends, and some projections for forecasts of the market size. And then part two is written by a very famous editor, Gary LaRude. You did a very nice gallium nitride foundry survey and covered all the companies around the world, the various processes and capabilities, and then you were able to crunch it into one page for a big table. How was that?
That was your idea, so you get credit for that.
But you did all the work.
I was surprised at the number of companies that are really in GaN with GaN fabs. So that was impressive. And of course, I appreciate all the contributions for companies because we wouldn't have had an article unless they were willing to participate.
There was one exception, a couple of the Chinese companies, because of the tension between the US and China. We weren't able to include them, but
right. We'll
try to add them in next year.
Yeah, and some of the captive aerospace and defense we didn't include as well.
Right, so. Only Open Foundry.
Right.
So what do we have for other technical features?
So we have a couple. We have from Qorvo a very nice explainer article on ultra-wideband. Of course, as you know, that's an up-and-coming technology. It's been around for a while, but it seems like it's just now ready to go mainstream in a lot of applications. It has better location accuracy than Bluetooth or GPS down to the centimeter range. And so I thought it was interesting because I've heard about it but didn't really understand how it worked. And this Qorvo article does a nice job of explaining it. And then our second article is similar from Analog Devices. It talks about a translation loop architecture for a synthesizer that provides very low phase noise, also very low spurs. And it does that without requiring a lot of complex filtering. So that's a good article. And then Fabs and Labs, you did Benchmark Electronics. We visit them this month.
Great lineup, and we had one product feature from SiTune. They introduced a pair of 5G transceiver products. These are kind of the first wideband transceiver products designed specifically for Open RAN and virtualization, and they're quad-channel solutions that use both digital and analog RF technology. So we mentioned them a few months ago, but now you have a product feature to delve into the performance part of it. What do we have for tech briefs?
Well, we have a couple tech briefs from Ruse Instruments, a high-voltage pulsed power supply add-on for one of their automatic test equipment systems. They've developed this basically for characterizing high-power LDMOS and GaN devices. And then from MiniRF, a 75-ohm Balun with a DC bias tap. Of course, this is designed for cable applications. It covers the 45 to 1250 megahertz band. And then, as you know, earlier this week, we talked with Yasmin King, who's the general manager of the aerospace and defense segment at Analog Devices. And she talked with us about some of the trends in phased array systems for military and space and what Analog Devices is doing to enable system designers to have more flexibility and provide more capability in response to those trends. So let's take a moment and watch a part of that interview.
Could you touch on the top challenges that face customers in the A&D markets? And do you see these requirements converging across markets?
Every market definitely has different requirements in some dimensions. A few of our customers are driving to multifunction platforms, combining EW, radar, communications. But as we all know, this leads to trade-offs. So how our customers are making those trades really depends upon the mission that they're facing. But when you look at it from a high level, you'll see that there are some common challenges across each of the markets. First and foremost, we hear about power and having to get power consumption as low as possible. Second, we tend to hear a lot about wide instantaneous bandwidth, especially in EW and SATCOM, which is pushing us to look at time delay-based solutions. And third, high levels of integration, including combining RF and digital, trying to get the end system as small as possible. And then lastly, we see frequency coverage. You know, today we're at Ka band, we're moving to V band. And for us, this drives the decision all the way back full circle to look at process selection and how best to support this expanded frequency coverage. So those are the main ones that we hear about as common challenges across each of those markets, but really it's a trade space for each end system.
It was great to catch up with Yasmin. She's doing a great job in leading that business unit. I think she's been there 1 year now as a general manager, so
right.
Great leadership in Analog Devices going on. So turning to the news, we saw an announcement of a partnership with Jacobs, Qualcomm, and the city of Peachtree Corners in Georgia. And they're implementing smart city applications, mainly the connected car and infrastructure. And they're doing a great job of letting Qualcomm be the technology enabler, and then Jacobs will do the implementation and installation. And we saw great leadership by the town there being able to fund this and really show the world what a smart city can do, and they want to be one of the leaders in the U.S. in that market.
Yeah, very impressive.
They even have a test facility for autonomous cars, so that's very interesting to see how they're enabling that, and there's even a lot of startups in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So you had mentioned earlier about ultra-wideband technology. So NXP announced their new TriMention ultra-wideband platform is being used in the new Samsung smart tags. So they use both Bluetooth to identify the object and connect, and they use the ultra-wideband for precise location to locate objects that you've tagged with these Samsung smart tags. So very interesting.
Yeah.
We've seen this proliferation in the mobile area. There will be a lot more applications coming out for both convenience and even security to be able to locate precisely objects. What did you see in the news?
Well, kind of tagging on to some of what you've talked about, there's a bit of a kerfuffle taking place over the 6 gigahertz spectrum. GSMA and China are arguing it ought to be applied to 5G. Of course, the U.S., the FCC, kind of allocated it to Wi-Fi with a segment of it for cellular V2X technology. And then Europe is kind of going both ways. They're going to do part cellular 5G and part Wi-Fi. And now there are a couple of automotive applications or organizations that are basically contesting the FCC's decision to make the spectrum unlicensed, saying that that is a safety concern for the DSRC band, which was a precursor to the cellular V2X and V2X technology in general. So it'll be interesting to see if they get any headway there, and it just shows how important it is to work the interference issues among these different applications.
Spectrum is a very scarce resource.
Exactly. And then one other thing, Leti has developed a kind of a cool, flexible waveguide, a plastic tube that propagates millimeter wave signals, and it can work up to like 10 meters and get up to 15 gigabit per second data rates,
wow,
depending upon the length. And it's intended for portable or small area applications, so maybe in a car or in an operating room for a medical application, or possibly a robot in a factory. So it'll be interesting to see how this takes off.
So turning to events, the date that this episode airs, we will be in Atlanta, Georgia for,
yes,
the in-person portion of IMS 2021. We hope we'll see some people there, but if not, please join us for the virtual version that starts June 20th through the 25th. So all the sessions and the booth for the exhibition will be airing the 20th through the 25th, and it'll be on demand for a full month until July 25th.
That's
so
nice.
This will be the first opportunity you can really get to see everything, listen to all the sessions you want to listen to, and also visit all the exhibitors that you want to visit in the exhibition.
Yeah, and we have quite a few videos lined up that we'll be taking there, so people can watch and see demonstrations and also interviews with a number of the exhibitors. And the other event we want to mention is Mobile World Congress. It's another Pathfinder. They are going forward with a physical event at the end of the month, June 28th to July 1st. They say they have 300 exhibitors, even though a lot of the big names have pulled out. And they're hoping to attract like 30,000 plus people. So it'll be interesting to see if that actually happens. Also, it's going to be a hybrid event, so a lot of virtual events people can tune into, even if they aren't in Barcelona. They'll have keynote addresses that'll all be online. So the CEO of Qualcomm and Verizon, very high-level people that won't be in Barcelona but will be connecting to the attendees there and those that are watching online. So we'll watch and see how that turns out.
Yeah, I heard they were still able to fill four halls, so it's still a significant event in person.
Right. You won't get as many steps in, though, this time. Well, I think that's it for this episode. We want to thank our sponsor, Analog Devices, for sponsoring the episode. Analog Devices is a very high-capability semiconductor company with devices that start at the antenna, the RF front end, go all the way through the analog-to-digital converters, digital-to-analog converters, and digital signal processing. So they basically have all the capabilities to re-engineer the system and make it more accommodating and more flexible for the system designer. They're truly a leading semiconductor company. So thanks for watching, and we'll be back in a couple weeks after IMS and have a report on how the show was.